Testament reading can be found on page 740 of the Church Bible. It is taken from Isaiah chapter 40, beginning to read from verse 3. A voice cries out, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." A voice says, "Cry out." And I said, "What shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up on a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings, lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord comes with might, and his arms rule for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead the mother of the sheep." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And we stand to sing again, "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear." And if you're using the blue books, it's number 56. "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear." Please stand.
Standing near the earth,
We remain standing for our gospel reading. Alleluia, alleluia. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Alleluia.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. This is found in chapter 2, reading from the first verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on her earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
As we stand together, let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Prince of Peace, we pray that your peace would surround us this evening, that we would know your peace in our hearts and lives, and that we would share the peace of this special moment with all who we meet in the day ahead, and all whom we meet in our lives. We pray it for your glory. Amen. Please do have a seat, and let me add my welcome to Jennifer's. It's really great to see you here this morning. Almost. Christmas is almost here. I wonder what you're hoping for this Christmas. After all, Christmas is a time of hope, so I went on the Daily Telegraph website just a couple of days ago to see what the most popular gifts were that people were hoping for at this Christmas. Baby Yoda seemed to be top of the list. Well done if you've managed to get one. Apparently they're very difficult to track down. But if you haven't got a Baby Yoda, then maybe tomorrow you are hoping for the Combeck thermometer Dutch oven from John Lewis, which came in a kind of close second on the list. Apparently it's a casserole dish made from disused railway tracks with an inbuilt thermometer. Price just £275, an absolute bargain, I am sure. Whatever you're hoping for this Christmas, we all share one hope in common this evening. In fact, it's such a common hope that it's something that we share with people of all races and all creeds and all ages and all backgrounds across the whole world. Deep down, everyone is hoping for someone to save them. Deep down, everyone is hoping for someone to save them. However, sorted we feel, however rich or poor we feel, however young or old we feel, we all hope to be saved. Saved perhaps from the bad stuff, which so often seems to affect the world around us as we look at our TV screens. Saved perhaps from the bad stuff that seems to be at war within ourselves, the thoughts or behaviours that we know we struggle with in ourselves, perhaps the temptations or the addictions that we quietly struggle with, saved perhaps from the pain of suffering of all kinds, saved perhaps from death itself. Fundamentally, we want to be saved from those things and to be saved for a better life. It's really the question that lies behind election campaigns the world over. Is there anyone who can save us from the state we're in and make things better? And this evening on the 24th of December, that's really what we're hoping for this Christmas. We want a better world, and we want a better me. And the good news is that Christmas is a time of hope. It's a time of hope that is fulfilled. We get at Christmas exactly what we're really wanting. If you've still got that Bible passage open in front of you, it was on page 60, slightly confusingly towards the back of our Bibles. It was on page 5960. Then verse 11 shows us that we get exactly what we're hoping for. Verse 11 of Luke chapter 2 has the angels saying the following things: "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." At Christmas time, we hope to be saved, and God has sent us a Saviour. And Luke wants us to see just a few things about that hope that we have in Jesus. The first is that Christian hope is present. Hope is here now. Sometimes I'm speaking to people about Christian faith, and when it comes up that I'm a church leader, they sometimes say to me, well, isn't that just kind of pie in the sky type of stuff, a sort of kind of groundless pipe dream that hasn't got any real legs to it. They might say that for them, kind of God just isn't kind of grounded enough. He's a little bit all kind of up there rather than down here, a little bit airy-fairy. They might say something like, if only he'd come and stand in my shoes for 5 minutes, then he'd understand. If only God was in temporary accommodation, or if only God was a refugee like I see on the TV screens, if only God had my relatives, then he might understand that the world really needs saving. At Christmas time, hope is born. Hope is present in a baby. If you like historical details, then fill your boots. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7 are absolutely chock full of them. Luke gives us a full background. Augustus is the Roman governor. Quirinius is the provincial governor. Bethlehem's the town. Nazareth is the place of the family home. Jesus is born of the line of David. That's the family genealogy. A food trough is the cot. You can't really get much more grounded than that. Born into temporary accommodation, forced at an early age to flee as a refugee to Egypt, born as a human. Hope is present in the world. And hope is still present here this evening. This isn't a Christian Christmas message from 2,000 years ago that we remind ourselves about as if it's some historical event alone. It is. But hope is present here this evening. Luke's account goes on to tell us that Jesus lived among us. He had friends and followers. He was accepted by some people. He was rejected by some people. But he lived his life. He died for us. He rose again. He ascended into heaven. And he left his spirit on earth until he comes again in glory. Jesus is here this evening by his spirit. This evening, the one thing we're hoping for is to be saved. This evening, that hope of a saviour is not just an event we remember, look back to, but it's a present hope here and now. The second thing that Luke wants us to spot from this passage is that hope is proclaimed. Present and proclaimed. I love the fact that the Christian hope was proclaimed by a bunch of angels to a group of shepherds. You can check out the details in verses 8 to 14 if you're interested. These were blokes that weren't exactly used to seeing angels. They were blokes that weren't used to being terrified, and they certainly weren't up for being duped either. They were just straightforward guys, and in verses 15 to 20 we see that naturally enough, because they were down-to-earth, normal guys who wanted to kind of obviously check out what they'd just seen with these angels kind of appearing in the middle of nowhere, they go and check it out. And they find out that it's happened exactly as they've been told. Christian hope is present. It's here and now, just as it was for them. They went and checked it out, and we can come and check it out as well this evening. Christian hope isn't just revealed to one person. It's not just revealed to especially holy people. It's not just revealed to people who like Jesus, whether you would consider yourself to be one of Jesus's friends or more of a skeptic, or sometimes whether you just want to kind of wave your fist in his face. Jesus welcomes everybody to come and check him out and to speak to him. This is public stuff. Everybody is invited to check out Jesus for ourselves. And that's true for us today. It's the invitation of Christmas. It might be that if you're here and you'd like to check out Jesus more, there's some booklets just in some of the chairs in front of you. Feel free to take them away. They're our free gift to you, and they'll help you to continue something of looking at this Christmas story. Some people like to call into church here when they find themselves in Bristol. If you don't live here during the year, quite a lot of people just pop in on a Sunday morning and come along to one of our services. If you do live in Bristol, you are always welcome as well. Some people people like to replay our talks via our website. There are lots of different ways of checking out Jesus. For Christmas, some people hope for Baby Yoda. Some people are hoping for a Dutch combi oven with a thermostat on the front. Others just want actually what goes in that oven. You might be looking to forward to your food tomorrow. The supermarket Lidl has been trying to encourage customers with the advertising slogan, "A Christmas you can believe in." Actually, that's been the church's message and the church's advertising slogan for a couple of thousand years, if not more. Christmas is a Christmas you can believe in, a hope you can believe in. It's exactly what we're hoping for. We get what our hopes are hoping for. Someone to save us. A hope that is present, a hope that is proclaimed. We can all check it out. Today, in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Our service is going to continue now, but if I don't get the chance to say it to you in person at the end of our service, a really happy Christmas from myself and from all of the team here at St. Mary's. Amen.
Let's stand to affirm our faith in that.